Welcome to Growing Younger Health and Fitness Podcast, designed for people over 40.
All right, guys. So today's podcast today is really about one of our clients who's decided that she's going to jump on the recording with us and just tell you about her story, which is it's quite a powerful story. She basically comes around the time where she had a very serious car crash and spent a significant amount of time in hospital. So I'm not going to spoil it too much. So I'm going to pass you over to Jan, and she's going to spend the next 20 to 30 minutes with you explaining her journey and how she stays motivated. And I'm sure that you're going to get some really good pieces of advice from this for yourself and your own current fitness journey. So over to Jan. Hello guys, we're back, Alex and I, with a new podcast today, which is pretty cool. So today's topic we're going to discuss today from both like a personal trainer and physio perspective, which is quite unique generally, is five common mistakes people make over 40 when starting to exercise after a long break. All right, so we got a couple of things here we're going to talk about.
So as a physio, I'm going to kick off the first kind of very common mistake that we see a lot of people, particularly over 40, make when they're just, particularly when they're trying to lose weight. So people who are, you know, unfit, carry excess weight, they kind of watch other, you know, super fit people do on the, you know, they watch them on the streets running and they'll look super healthy. And so they try to do the same thing. They basically, they buy a pair of running shoes and off they go, they start running. Now, why this could be a problem is because running is great. It's a good way to burn calories and get fit. But if you are carrying quite a bit of extra weight, if you're carrying extra 20, 30, 40 kilos, it could actually do a bit of damage to your joints. So we're talking your knees primarily, but also your ankles and your hips and sometimes even your lower back. So I'm just suggesting that before you actually start running, maybe just try and sort of get into other types of training to try and reduce your weight, maybe by 10 kilos. Once you kind of get that weight down a little bit, then running might be a good way for you to continue your weight loss journey. Because as a physio, I do see a lot of people with all sorts of knee, ankle issues simply because they just start running. They carry too much weight, they're not used to it, and bang, all these injuries come up, okay? Now, the second point, common mistake that a lot of people make is just like having a long break from exercise, maybe haven't done much for 10 years, 20 years, and just starting out like going really hard, like, you know, maybe getting into some weight training and just lifting heavier weights than what they feel comfortable with. I guess a common scenario is maybe some of you used to be a gym member like way back, like 20 years ago, and you kind of remember, I used to be able to like lift whatever it is, you know, 60 kilos, and you jump in after like a 20 year break, and then you start lifting these heavy weights. You think your body is still the same. It's not, because, you know, in that time that you haven't actually done a lot, your body has deconditioned. Okay. So you need to start somewhere where you feel comfortable. You need to start where your current level of fitness is. And I guess this is where personal training comes handy, because, you know, a personal trainer can actually gauge where your body is right now, and they can give you exercises that will be right for you where you are, okay? And there's something called 10% rule, okay? So what it actually means is that you should not be increasing the intensity of your exercise by more than 10% per week. Okay. So let's say if you're doing a 30 kilo weight, you know, maybe you're benching it. Okay. So you shouldn't be going by more than 3 kilos per week increase. Okay. So just slow and steady wins the race. Okay. So that's the main point here. And so Gavin is going to cover the next point.
Cool. So I got a question for Alex, actually. Just put him on the spot. All right. So, yep. Like, we all know, like, if you're overweight, you know, every step or movement that you take when you're extra carrying extra kilos? Like, do you know like what that number would be? So for every kilo extra you weigh, do you know how much weight that is extra on the joints?
When you're running?
Yeah.
So it's 3 times plus.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah. So if you have 100 kilos, when you're running, particularly if you're running downhill, there's more than 3 times the amount of weight you're putting on your knee joint. So you can see how that could really do some damage to your cartilage, particularly.
100%. And like you see a lot of people do that as well. And, you know, you see people that will try and default to jogging. And actually, they could just walk. You know what I mean? If you're going to, like, you could do it on a treadmill, walk on a bit of an incline, you take all the pressure off the joints a little bit and just go for a walk and get your fitness and strength up, because like your body, your knees and legs and muscles are adapting to your current level of activity. So if you're like a big person and you end up putting an extra 3 to 4 times the load to that knee joint that can't handle because it's not done anything, you put yourself at massive risk of injury. And even like you see people will join places like F45 and CrossFit and stuff to lose weight. And although, you know, they're definitely plausible ways to do it, is that they don't take into consideration how like weak their joints and stuff are. I was talking to one of our neighbors actually the other day, and she's a hand specialist up in Howick, and she's saying there's a lot amount of injuries that are coming through from CrossFit at the minute where people are breaking their hands because they're trying to do these handstand press ups because that's what the CrossFit guys are doing, and they end up breaking their hands with their heads when they land on their hands. This is interesting. So people don't think of that. They just think they can do it. And I think a lot of pride will get you in the way as well. And if you can ditch the pride and go, look, I'm not quite fit enough to do this yet, you can do it. So like that leads kind of on to the next point as well. So not enough like strength in the body. So a couple of reasons really is that, like, if you start to strengthen those muscles and even things like doing squats and sit to stands, you know, that you're actually putting more load to the joints and the bones and the muscles, and you're gonna get stronger by default. And in terms of running and walking as well, like you wanna be working on, they call it the posterior chain, which are the muscles at the back of the body. So the hamstrings, the glutes, the calves. You just tend to see people blowing calves out like all the time when they're not strong enough. So it's all about, you know, having a really good program that's tailored to your specific needs at the time. And then like with Alex's, like, you know, the 10% rule, that as trainers, we call it progressive overload. So it's just progressively overloading your muscles and joints over a period of time to gradually grow stronger, because like you wouldn't expect an Olympic lifter who could only do like a deadlift of 20 kilos to try and do a max world record. They got to build up to it, like, and we're no different. And then obviously the upside of that is then you're going to be less likely to get injured. If you do slowly increase your muscle mass as well, you're going to burn more calories at rest as well, which is really important. I forget the numbers about that now, but like it is, I think for every 4 or 5 kilos of muscle that you have in your body burns about an extra 75 calories a day, I think it is. So it doesn't sound a lot, but if you add like 75 calories per day, 24/7, it's actually a lot. Like over the course of a year, you lose a couple of kilos just by having extra muscle mass.
Times that 350, that's a lot of calories, isn't it?
100%. And a lot of times as well, like I know Alex is a little testament to this, is a lot of people that come into our studio, the first thing they do for exercise is walking, isn't it? That's all they do. There's no sort of weight training involved. And the downside of just running and doing cardio all the time is that you can actually burn that muscle away, which you end up like even weaker, even less able to support your body, which is interesting. So like then the other thing I guess then is like if weight loss tends to be the biggest sort of goal for our clients, and people think that exercise does all the work in terms of calorie burn. So what's really interesting is when you look at like how calories are burned in the body over the course of a day or whatever else, only 5% of calories are burned from exercise, which is interesting. So like 5% is nothing. It's like, you know, 5% of 2,000 calories a day is nothing. So therefore, you've got to really look to your nutrition to try and lose that weight, because like I know for myself, I can go for a walk for an hour, I'll burn 400 calories off according to my super accurate Galaxy watch. But I can eat 400 calories in 20 seconds, you know, a bit of chocolate, some nuts and stuff like that. So it's much easier to just control those calories and the food that you eat instead of trying to burn it off, because otherwise, you know, you're going to be having a really tough time if you're going to think that the exercise is burning all those calories and it's not, which is cool.
Just like as a really good example of that as well, like if you have a piece of cheesecake or something, like that will be easily 300-400 calories, isn't it?
Oh, easy.
How long do you have to run to burn that off? Like, would it be like 45 minutes to an hour, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's easier, not have that extra piece of cheesecake or run for an hour? It's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Totally.
Yeah.
100%. Cool. Yeah, like I said, a lot of people don't realize that they kind of overestimate how many calories they burn from exercise, but underestimate how much food they eat as well, and that's the discrepancy. And again, you know, we're looking at form and things as well. So if you're going to start a weight training program, like, you should do it. Like, everyone should do it. No one should not do it, because your muscle mass declines over time, and we can talk about that in another sort of podcast, but. Like, if you don't use it, you lose it. So therefore, if you're going to go in and start doing some of these exercises, you do need somebody to keep an eye on you, I guess, and just teach you a good squat form and good technique. Because you see some people, like, we've lost the ability to use our hips to move, and they end up knee dominant. If you've got knee pain, it's going to make it worse. So therefore, like, it's a good idea to get a trainer or a coach or somebody just to critique your form a little bit to make sure that you're moving in the right sort of planes of motion and the right way.
And why this is so important as well is because, as a physio, I see this quite often, that, you know, people have the best intentions, they get into some exercise, they don't really know what they're doing, they do some, you know, some stuff that, you know, like, they hurt themselves essentially by doing exercises incorrectly. Now, because they hurt themselves, they get discouraged, and so they stop. Okay, and this is pretty much where their get healthy journey ends, which is very sad, because with a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of feedback from someone who's a professional in an area, that could actually do really well. So technique is absolutely important. And I guess another reason is, like, if you're, say, particularly if you're over 50 and you haven't exercised in 10 years, your joints become stiffer, like your hips, your lower back. And therefore, you're, like, if you're trying to do a squat, it will probably be difficult. So if no one is there to guide you through it and correct your little mistakes, you could say, you know, it's not easy. Okay, so I guess having a trainer there side by side is quite a big quite an important thing. I think, well, hopefully you learned something from this. Do you have anything else to add, Gavin?
No, I think that's covered off. I think there's some really good mistakes, and I guess to summarize, like, is guess just to start easier, progressively overload, you know, make sure that you're controlling your calories if weight loss is a goal. And obviously, you know, make sure you get somebody to look at your technique before you start going into some complicated exercises. So yeah, I think that's us for today. We'll see you on the next one, I guess.
Yeah, talk to you next week.
See you. Okay, guys, so I hope you found the podcast of value. If you did and you're struggling with your own health and fitness journey, there's a link in the description for a free discovery call with me. And that free discovery call, we're going to cover off a little bit about you, your history, your goals, what you want to achieve, and maybe we can help you or not with your own health and fitness goal. So if that does sound like something that you'd like to do, then click on the link in the description, and I look forward to chatting to you in the very near future. Have a good day, guys. Bye-bye.